What's going on, everybody? Stubbs here from Retro Handhelds. You're back with the Retro Handhelds podcast, your source for the latest in retro handheld and emulation news. Today, we're having a special offline episode with our good friends, Kerry Gollum from The Fox, or you are The Fox.
That's me.
And yes, Mr. Baldly Rudy of Baldly Rudy fame.
Hi.
Also, my illustrious co-host, Mr. Rob, the Retro Tech Daddy. You all know him well by now. Today's topic, we want to talk about the state of x86. Handhelds, we're here in New York City, hanging out, just chit-chatting handhelds. And we are here with the new GPD Win 5, which I've been very excited to play with today. And Kerry says that it might have the best D-pad ever, so we got to talk about that. And how does it compare, honestly, with the Ambrinic Win 600? That's what you all really want to know. How many spreadsheets can we load up? We got an Ally X on hand. And even the Claw 8 with its beautiful speakers.
Look at that spread of
it. Does that actually really have very nice speakers? Like, the speakers on are sick.
They're
what
good.
What about version 4s?
I think the V4 rubbers.
V4 rubbers. I mean, it is excellent. They're really good speakers.
It's true. And also, you know, we're hot in the heels of the release of the Xbox Ally X, which we're not going to get too much into today, but...
And the Legion Goat 2.
Goat 2.
Yep. What else do we have?
What else is coming out right now? 1X players doing their
Yeah. We don't know. We haven't heard of it. They just said like a little teaser, but nothing materialized yet.
395, right?
It's 395 and 8-inch screen. Yeah. That's the same screen as the Legion Goat S.
Okay, the Legion Goat S. So we're looking at an IPS.
Yeah, 16x10.
16x10.
Yeah. Which is also very nice.
I liked it.
120 hertz VRR.
Yeah, VRR on that bad boy.
Yeah.
And
nice.
which is nice.
Yeah.
Now I want to compare that against, like, what do you guys think about streaming right now, like, versus going raw silicon?
But wait, are we talking about streaming from the cloud or streaming on a local network?
Both.
I would say both.
Like, basically, my thing with today is, like, what's the best way to play your Steam library?
Right.
You know?
Natively?
I mean, natively, sure. But you're dealing with heat. You're dealing with
it's
heft.
Funny because I'm like, I totally see the appeal of like streaming, and it's getting so good. I show it on my channel all the time, and I'm like, and yet I still like playing natively. There's something about just having the power on hand to be able to play games. Like, I mean, that's something special. Like the 395 in a form factor like that.
I mean, and the 395 itself has been very impressive. I was playing around with that on the ROG. Z Flow 13 2025 AI 90 billion.
395 max.
Plus. This is the guy for the numbers. This is the guy.
To be fair, that was like not the best naming SKU. Like,
well,
ever.
This whole generation and all the brands.
What about the Z2 lineup?
What?
Z2, what's your problem Z2A, with the Z2 Z2 lineup? Go, Z2E, Z2E AI?
Yeah.
That's all five of them, right?
Yeah. Like, there might be a hidden sixth one. We don't know.
What are we doing?
And the best is they're all a mixture of different generations.
Yeah, all over the place.
It's all over the place. Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Well, that's something that AMD did with their... It's almost like the Ambrinic naming scheme with like their RG3750 or, you know, like they came up their naming scheme. Remember when Ambrinic was like, if it begins with an R, if it ends with a V, it's vertical.
It's vertical.
That's what Ambrinic was like doing. And then when new chipsets came out, they would just increment. Like this number... is the diagonal width of the diagonal of the screen in inches. So Ambrinic had like a schema that worked out that was like, okay, you can kind of understand just from the naming alone what you're going to get out of it. And AMD kind of did something similar where they had like, okay, it's the 7000 series, which is the 7th generation.
Yeah.
But then the next one can be like a 3, a 5, or a 7. Or an, you know, and it's like, okay, what is that? And it's like, well, if it's a 3, it's actually
like
a Zen 2.
The chart of where they break down all the numbers and everything, I'm just like, it was already kind of confusing before, and now you've just made it far more confusing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not an improvement in any way.
It's a way for them to say something's new while selling something old.
Yes, because you have to look at the lot, even the Z2 lineup. If you look at that Z2 lineup, how many of those chips have been rebranded? That's
right. Yeah, like
they're either bin chips that they're reusing in a different way.
Also, the Z2 Go is garbage. Z2A is Van Gogh. Z2 Go is a weirdo 6800U.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bin 6800U.
That's what it is, and it winds up just being the worst of all worlds. it's a very strange thing. And you can see them as like, hey, what do we do with this crap?
Oh, I know. Put it in everything.
Yeah, let's make a stew.
We got a retro stew going over here. That's what's nice. I mean, I don't know, but like, handhelds right now are in a kind of funny spot. We're also messing around with all these different form factors. You're seeing clamshells get huge this year.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just clamshells. We're going big on dual screens.
Yeah.
All across the board, x86 dual screens, which INU kind of started on. And now we're looking at Android dual screens, AYN Thor, which looks freaking amazing. Even that, I went hands-on today with Bob Wolf's Thor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is where it's at.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, the what? The AYN Thor?
Bob Wolf's Thor, that's what it's called.
Bob's Wolf.
But Bob Wolf's Thor.
Bob Wolf's Thor.
Bob Wolf's Thor.
Bob Wolf's Thor.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
Yeah.
All right, there we go.
It clicked. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
I am a little jet lagged. We'll see you on the next episode. This has been... No.
It was really cool. It was really super cool.
Couldn't believe how small it was. Yeah. I was just like, wow.
It's lightweight.
Impressive.
I mean, it's not much heavier than my Retroid Pocket Flip 2. And it brings me back to the fact, like, why am I not just playing all my Steam games through a streaming experience on a lightweight Android handheld?
That was kind of what I was...
Or a low-spec Windows handheld.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was asking you about. Like, this, if you take the Win 5 and you take the battery off and you plug it in, then why not just do local streaming or cloud streaming on a device that's lighter, that you don't need to be plugged into like that? So that's the argument. Which way do you go with that? So
last year I would have said, no way, Jose. Now with the decode times we're seeing across the board, Snapdragons, I mean, x86 has always had great decode times in the last 3-4 years, right? But there's near imperceivable latency on the latest gen stuff.
When you're talking about like 1 millisecond native decoding time, that no one's going to notice that. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's like playing natively, basically.
And we've been, you know, making the quip of the fact that Bluetooth latency might be more than your decode times for your streaming. The problem is with streaming is that you're going to mess around with whatever your host PC has going on. You might have to turn on the PC, wake on LAN. You might have to, sign in, or like that distracts you from the experience. And then you're out of the experience. You're like, screw this. I'm going to go turn on my Xbox or whatever it is.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that someone has a host PC.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, do they have a host PC that has the latest Zen 5 and a 4060 in it?
Yep. Probably not.
So if they do, then great. Then they already have something that they could stream to. But if you don't, then you can get that. Which
right.
Is and that becomes
your
everything, too.
Your
because
everything.
You can dock it and turn it into your main PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of the main appeal with something that powerful. You
know? Yeah.
It's one and done kind of.
It's arguably just unreal stupid with like how many CPUs, like full fat Zen 5 cores. There's like 16 of them there. So it's a mobile workstation through and through, which is insane. So it literally is a monster, and I don't recommend that everyone gets one because it is too expensive.
Well,
everyone across the board has said that it's like, if anything, that I think every one of you guys is like, well, the only thing that you guys would entertain is the 385 one.
Yeah, for what, $1,400?
That's only the crowdfunding price. Is $1,420?
What's the retail?
I think it's $1,600, $1,650. Okay.
Yeah. $1,650, you're talking more expensive than the Lenovo Legion Go 2.
Yeah, around $300.
By $300.
Yeah.
You are getting double the performance, though, at that price point.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Well, the 385 is double the performance?
It will. And so
really?
In that same TDP spec, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. That's one.
Now you're getting excited.
All right.
Now you're kind of selling me on it.
He's
stumbled
on his words thinking about it.
Yeah, okay. But, okay. Corporate-wise, Lenovo, you go to a Best Buy, you buy it. You might not love it.
Yes.
You can return it.
Yeah.
You can return it. Amazon, you can return it. If you're buying from Indiegogo or what have you, like GPD's offering here, you do get a one-year warranty, right?
Yeah. So this is and it's painful. It really is painful, and I don't recommend. Like, it's not the best situation, and it flat out how it is that you have a one-year warranty. If anything goes wrong with it, it's say the screen gets busted. The chip's bad, battery's bad, any part of it's bad.
Yep.
GPD gives you two options. Number one, they will ship you the part for free next day air. So it'll get there the next day, whatever it is. So you'll get it in 2 to 3 days. Then it's up to you to repair and replace it. Not many people are very comfortable with doing that. So then you're going to have to take that and maybe take it to some local technician to do it. And then you're going to pay whatever fee that is. Not great. But at least you don't have to send out your device and you hold on to it and it can be repaired far faster. The other alternative is that you send them the device, they repair it, and send it back to you. But you would have to pay to send to them, and then they pay to ship it back to you. So it's a one-time shipping cost to them. But because this has it's a 2-pound device. Now you don't have to send the whole battery with them, so you keep the battery, but you're literally gonna be at like $100 to ship it to them. So your customer support end is not great and awful. And that's really where you look at it.
But you do have like diehard GPD fans who will just be like, okay, I'm gonna buy this.
Yeah, typically like when we have a lot of enthusiasts, and for most of these people, we're all already hardcore Uber nerds. So the prospect of like, no, I'm just like the prospect
it's
of
true.
Yeah, we are.
We've been talking about it. No one's really going for that 385 SKU. Everyone's going for the highest
yes. top
spec one because yeah. it's like that's what they want. They're enthusiasts. They want
the best of
the best of the best. Yeah. yeah,
no matter the cost.
Which is funny. I mean, like, yeah, yeah.
So in this one particular aspect, I think that most of the people understand what they're getting into, and it's probably the same customers that are in that sphere that are already buying the best that they can possibly mm-hmm. get. Because in the reality is that when you take a look at that and what's on there, even if you weren't including that, right? Let's say the 1X Apex one, the 8-inch device that's coming out, right? Let's say you're more interested in that one. But for all intents and purposes, Strix Halo, we're in this weird zone where once again, we're waiting for the next generation of GPUs to carry us forward in performance, but we don't have that yet. So the only way that we get there is by paying for it in price and power. So if you want to have more power in performance, you need to pay and in both ways. And that's where we are until 2027. So you basically, how I've said it, and it's not really the best, and I don't really want to say it, but I mean, like, how much would you pay to time travel 2 years into the future? How much should time traveling cost?
Does it cost $2,000?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Never been asked.
If you
right,
can, if you can
think about, because that technology will start to trickle down.
Yeah,
it'll. And can you imagine having that capabilities in a handheld that is the size of a Win 600 or even the
exactly? You should expect better than that in 2 years, right? But you're not going to get there until 2 years, and then by then you're going to be on the latest node, which is going to be expensive.
Yep.
You should really think like the Steam Deck 2, which is going to be in 2027. That is likely going to be a $700 device at the low end.
Yeah.
So now the price change, because now the US dollar is down 10% this year, not getting any better. Nothing looks good. Everything's getting more expensive.
Tariffs, all that, yeah.
Yeah, tariffs. Everything that you see is getting more expensive, and it's not just isolated to a single company. It's going to be everywhere. So expecting things to cost what they cost today is not going to be the case. So when you think of that price, you're like, man, that is super expensive. But the cost of the better gear that's coming out is also going to balloon up. But it's also going to be better because RDNA 5 is like 6 to 12 times better, at least rumored, on ray tracing.
Well, and Valve was saying we're not going to make a new handheld until we get a generational leap.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and that's RDNA 5.
That's the more meaningful, yeah.
Yeah, so that is the world that you're looking at is 2027 is when the actual next generation in performance outside of that comes. So
yeah.
Are you happy with the Ally X, the MSI Claw? Like, you have to be happy with that as your performance target. And for many people, it's not good enough. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
Okay, this is better.
Well, the speakers are good enough, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, the reality, like, you go into it, you say, okay, this is clearly better than a Steam Deck, but it's not that much better than Steam Deck. I'm still struggling with
1080p. I'm noticing that.
I can't run 1080p. I have to use upscale.
The biggest thing is they just had a sale in the LCD model. $319.
Yeah, yeah. $320. Yeah, so
$320 for a full-blown x86 handheld. I'm
which
like,
is still, it's still get a Steam Deck, bro.
Yeah.
For some, yeah.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
like
that's a lot.
But it's like Carrie said, how much are you willing to pay to travel into the future?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I get it. It's not for everyone, and not everyone wants to time travel.
Yep.
And I get it. They go, time traveling is not for me. And I go, yeah, Steam Deck's there. The Ally X is there. Ally X has gone on sale. Lots of these devices, the Ally itself has gone on sale. You can get that 60-watt-hour attachment battery. That went down to like $400. So if you do that with a JSAW 60-watt battery mod, you're in a pretty good area, not spending a ton of money.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in an okay area, so you don't have to spend all this money. You just have to be okay with running like 720p and 40 FPS. And like,
which I feel like that's what people do even in the desktop space, right?
Yeah.
You buy a really high-end GPU, and you ride it out for the next couple of years, and then you upgrade when it's more meaningful to upgrade.
Well,
and
yeah.
That kind of is the same idea here in the handheld space. It's like the same thing. So.
It's for the 1%.
Yeah, well, and then there's the people who buy
enthusiasts, yeah.
Who buy the mid-range x86 handhelds, and then you pair it with a good external GPU. That's the other option. But I think that's an even smaller niche.
It is.
I think so. Yeah.
But you know what's interesting?
I agree.
I've actually had a lot more people reach out to me about eGPUs.
Really?
A lot more than usual. Typically, it's the usual suspects that I know that are just hardcore eGPU.
Right.
But now I have a bunch more people that are just asking me in general, can you please test this with an eGPU as well? Like, they want me to test an eGPU on the GPU-N5. And I'm like, well, all right. I have a gigantic beast, but you want more beast. That's what you're asking
double
me.
You want double the beast.
Yeah.
Double like, the beast.
Like, here's this iWin button.
You're telling
can I make
not
this
enough power in this thing.
Why don't
you need more?
Yeah. Can I have more power, please?
Like, how much power do we need to play Balatro? I'm sorry. Like, what games are you playing?
You know, it's that fascinating. And I get it. I fall. Like, you guys ever play Hearthstone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, whenever you have, like, a deck that you're building, and it's like, oh, if I just combo this, this, and that, and the other thing, and it's like, you've already won. Like, you've won. You don't have to win this much. Like, why are you winning so
especially
hard?
Especially when you think about game design, right? What are they targeting in terms of development? Yeah. It's going to be PS5 spec, Xbox Series spec. We're not going really beyond that. So, there's a point where these handhelds are actually surpassing the power of what they're even targeting in terms of game development. I'm like... So what are we doing here? That's the thing. It's like it gets to a point where, okay, we're going too far now. You know?
We're kids in our sandbox playing with really expensive toys is what we're doing here.
For enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Digital Foundry's look at Strix Halo?
No. Okay, so again, everybody. Now, producer Sony, if you don't mind putting some graphics on the screen to cover up what I'm about to do. But look at this thing. Look at this thing. Bigger than the Win 4, right? Has a freaking external battery, which to me was nuts at first. But after using it today, and I've gotten a good amount of hands-on time now, it is not a bad situation here. It's about 2 pounds. Take off the battery, it's about 1 pound. Even then, like, this thing is pretty honking sweet, man. 395 power, playing Miles Morales, 120 FPS, 1080p, no frame gen turned on.
Very high settings.
Very high settings.
No ray tracing.
No ray tracing, but that's not AMD's bag right now anyways.
No.
And it was fluid. Like, you're just swinging webs. And even Bob Wolf was like, oh, this is incredible, you know? And
yeah, once you start feeling the performance, that's when you're like, oh,
it's good.
That's real
what
nice.
What to me is the image quality, right?
Yeah.
Because we're so used to having to turn things down to make it run well on a handheld. And
exactly.
It's just like, this is desktop class graphics.
Well,
and on a handheld.
To classify this, though, like the review unit here you have, this is you have a pre-production, right? But it's also the max spec.
It's the max spec.
That's the 395 plus.
Yeah.
That we're looking at here, which is $2,300.
That's the retail price. $2,100 for the retail price.
Okay.
It's like 19 something for the.
Oh really?
Funding. Yeah.
Well, that's not bad because even the flow 2025 is $2,300.
It's cheaper. Retail is cheaper than what Asus
same
charges.
Chip.
About $200 cheaper than what Asus charges. Yes.
But you have to be really committed to gaming on that. Like with the flow, you're getting also a tablet. You're getting a Windows PC, pretty much.
Yeah.
A
controller if you want to do gaming, right? I mean, so that's.
Yeah,
that has a little more functionality. I feel like
I find the thing fascinating because whenever I've long since talked about Asus to like a gaming phone,
mm-hmm.
every which way I can, I try to push whatever I can on people, and I've long since tried to ask them to put like Strix Halo, and this is before Strix Halo even came out, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait for this to be on a handheld, and everyone's like, oh, that's a 45-50 watt part, and I'm like, we can take it lower, don't worry, and no one believed me, but we're here, and then.
You did say that. That's right.
He did it to everyone.
Yeah, you said it like a year ago, too.
Yeah, so Asus comes out, and they're like, you're like, oh, no, we're not going to put in a handheld. That's nuts. We're going to put in a tablet. And I'm like, yeah, that's better?
I mean, we have that tablet here, too.
I'm just saying that it's still insane. It's an insane thought to, like, don't say, like, oh, a handheld. No, like, iPad, yes. Like, come on, guys. The thing is, like, super thin. For what it is, it's absolutely monstrous. So it's not I find it to be just as an absurd thought to have, and I get it.
It fits my Janko jeans, though.
It's a 13-inch screen, and you have that. It's the very Surface-like device, right? You have that.
Yes.
That
mm-hmm. The kickstand. Yeah. And all that. Yep.
So I get it.
I freaking love it.
I'm a fan. Engines. I'm a fan. That's all I'm saying.
It's literally right there. But yeah, I absolutely love it. I take it with me all the time to do production work whenever I'm on the road. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a monster. It's an absolute monster.
And if you want to game on it, you can throw it in a G8 Gamesir, you know, telescopic. I mean, with so modified. Or modified.
Just grab an Xbox controller.
RRtronics.
I was going to say, there's an Xbox controller that I take with me.
Stand, you know, you
can, like an 8-bit
one. Now you're introducing latency. So, how about them apples, huh? Decode times.
Plug it in. Plug it into one of the USB ports.
So I had bought my kid a gaming laptop, a Lenovo gaming laptop with a 2060 M. And
lucky kid.
And then I had, obviously Asus sent me one, so I had the 395 just sitting around, because I have better gear than the 395. And I'm like,
excuse me?
I should probably have.
Dude, that was such a subtle flex, by the way.
Oh, no big deal, but.
So it was just sitting around, unfortunately, and I'm like, I should just probably give this to my son. So I swapped him out because it's like much better.
You're downgrading your son to a 395.
So, well, I upgraded him.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He was on a 2060M. But,
terrible parent.
Oh, what a garbage chipset, you know?
I always thought you were going to say garbage dad. Like, how awful.
Yeah. But, yeah, so he just plays Roblox on it. So it's like, you know, overkill for what
overkill.
It is.
Yeah.
But
it's all right. We're playing Celeste Bellatro.
He's like, Dad, I got 120 frames per second in Roblox.
He does play Dead by Daylight on it. And his monitor is a 1440p monitor. And it can hit 1440p for Dead by Daylight at 120 FPS, which is impressive. But that just goes to show you like how impressive the thing is that even though it is, by all means, a tablet, it is also a mobile workstation. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, that's just like how this is. And I get it. It's like this weird, how do you recommend something like this? It's such a weird thing. Like you wouldn't go around like, oh man, look how awesome this Ferrari is. You should get one.
Just because. Like you are committing with the Win 5, you are committing to the gaming aspect of that chip.
Yes.
Like that is what you're committing to. Sure, you can dock it, right? Yeah. You can pair it, have it be your main daily driver PC.
Yeah.
But my complaint is, and I'm sure some of the backers' complaints are, going from Gen 3 of Win 3 with that, you know, membrane keyboard up to Gen 4, that was the tactile keyboard, right?
Yep.
Awesome to have that as an option. You slide it out, cool, you got a keyboard. Even smaller form factor. It got a little hotter, sure. But we're losing that on the Gen 5 here.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So what are we doing? Like, we're adding a bunch of power, we're losing that functionality.
Yeah, they just put a little button here that's on all works on Windows, but this brings up, remember how I
the virtual keyboard.
Yeah,
hey, that's all. You know what else has a dedicated keyboard button?
Win 600, baby. I'm pretty sure all it does, day, 2023's. Yeah. X86 of the year that was made by Ann Burnick.
Of the year.
Of the year. X86 of the year.
2023. Spreadsheet all day.
I don't know. It's an interesting time, certainly. And we're in the lull. And this has happened previously when the Win 1 came out. And then, luckily for us, the Core M3 7Y30 that existed on Intel side was double the performance inside the same power, which is, but that was a 1 year difference. Well, for me, it was a 1 year difference, 2 year difference for everyone else. And that was like, okay, 2 years, no problem. I doubled my performance in the same power. That's great. We also doubled the cost. GPD Win 1 was $300, and then we went to $650 to GPD Win 2.
I remember that, yes.
And then when the GPD Win Max came out, we only went to Ice Lake, which was double the performance of the Win 2, but we had to use double the power. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, crap. Now we're using double power just to hit double the performance. And then this, you know, we had Ioneo, which was in the same basic range as Ice Lake, same power scope as everything else. So it wasn't anything really much better, but it was AMD. It was like the first AMD thing we had. And Ioneo was like the first form factor that I think a lot of people, like GPD was making like things that look like mini laptops with buttons on them. Yeah. And this was like the first thing that looked like a gaming handheld. And then the Steam Deck came out. And then that
changed the game.
Yeah, that was two times performance of the GPD Win Max at half the power. Yeah. And it's like, finally,
and
we're
price.
Here. And then price. Since the Steam Deck, we've been slowly ramping up of pay more money, push more power, get incremental performance. And now we're at the end of that where you pay top dollar, push a ton more power, and get that performance out of it.
Until 2027, when Valve once again they level the playing field.
Reset it.
But this is the same type of thing that we're back into again. Right. It's painful right now because this is actually a longer stint. Because if you look at the difference between the GPU 1.2, the GPU Max to Steam Deck, it was a 2-year gap between all of those. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't great, but you had this 2-year cadence of, okay, push more power, get more power, 2 years, reset the playing field. And now we're going on 5 years before we reset the playing field. And right now I feel like everyone feels that. Like every new game that comes out is just like, oh, cool, it's 720p, 24 frames a second on Steam Deck. How does Monster Hunter? Oh, it. No, not great.
No. Monster Hunter says no.
Nothing's
not running.
No, that's a no.
And nothing is happening in a vacuum here. Nintendo changed, you know, the game in a way with the Switch 2 this year. Like that's because now we're talking about, like, do people even want to play their x86 games on the go, or are they switching to the Marios and the cutesy, you know, stuff, that all that stuff?
It's funny because it makes the Switch 2 seem like
8-inch,
but it's also great. It seems like a very good value in comparison to all these x86 games.
Oh yeah, right?
Well, dude, there's so much power in it.
Let me stop us. And we should call an expert in who knows Switch 2 stuff. Let's get Josh from Scatterbrain. Josh, are we here?
Josh.
I think there was some space right there in frame.
Right here? I'll gladly join.
Let's talk about this, Josh. What are your thoughts about
what you want to do?
The viral Switch 2 video of the year.
Like when Star Wars Outlaws came out, right? Like recently, like. That's considered a great port. Yeah. And you try to play Star Wars Outlaws on any of these handhelds, maybe except for your fancy GPD, like, it doesn't really play that well. And it looks great on a Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
Like, that says something about what the Switch 2 is able to do.
Because they're making use of that.
I'm sure
power.
Part of it is, like, developers are targeting that platform.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a huge difference. Yes. But, like, until we get to that point with handhelds, like, you're always going to have a trade-off.
You drop 450, 500 on a Switch 2, you know that you're good for the next 5 years, at least.
Yeah, 7, like, likely.
Knowing Nintendo, the way the Switch 1 turned out, probably 7
years. The only thing you're going to look forward to is Switch 2 OLED, and that's like, that's your hope.
Well, Switch 2 Lite, maybe, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's still in the same scope of, like, they're going to do their bump in node so that they can get better battery life, but downclock it to hell so that it's the same performance as what the Switch 2 already was.
Correct.
So there's no performance difference between them. You just get a battery.
You kind of know what their game plan is going to be. Basically.
Yeah, it's
they're going to do a light one, a more compact one, and then they're going to do the one with a fancier display, better battery efficiency, and that's what it's going
to
be basically.
But to your guys' point, like Ampere, especially on the ray tracing end, is far more generationally advanced than what RDNA 2. RDNA 3 is the same as RDNA 2. And all of that type, all the CUs that share stuff for doing ray tracing is showing its age. And when you have something that is even as anemic as a Switch 2, because remember, even at its highest power state, you're using 8 watt total in the handheld state on the Switch 2, which is nothing. So what it's achieving with so little power is truly monumental. Like it's very, very impressive. And we just are still using old AMD GPUs. And from what we can tell, like rumors and everything, RDNA 5 is finally going to get us there for ray tracing. And then you're going to see that giganto divide. But right now, you don't see like that much of a divide for what PC gaming handhelds offer and what the Switch 2 offer, especially when you have companies doing the work to optimize for that,
like
for that title.
Cyberpunk is a good example.
Yeah, Cyberpunk was a huge
really
one.
Really good example, yeah.
Very impressive. That was one that I definitely bought day one.
Yeah.
Just to see what that experience was.
Yes.
I think the only thing that, I don't know if it's a problem, but it's like, I found that I was going to stop buying physically for Switch. I was like, okay, this is the last physical game collection I will have. And I started just buying on Switch. And when Switch 2 came out, I was like, okay, I still have my Switch 1 games. I'll still buy
It'll
Switch
still
2.
Work.
Yeah, but he's like, that's still Switch, right? So I'll buy that.
Yeah.
But then Nintendo helped me out, and they're like, don't worry about it. Most all the physical cards aren't actually anything on there.
Oh, my God.
It's funny. The only Switch 2 games I own physically are the ones where they're Yes. Like, I'm kind of like, okay, that's gonna be my rule, basically.
You get the first party ones, and then you get a couple of scattered.
Once in a while, yeah. You know, and I'm sure they're gonna look at the numbers.
But that's
right?
not that much different than what we have on other platforms today. Correct. Like, yeah, PlayStation has been shipping code in a box, technically. You know, just disc with it's 5 kilobytes of a serial number, right?
Like, why do we get so pissed off then when we're talking about Nintendo doing it? We have the nostalgia of the cartridges.
I don't agree with the path to go fully digital. Like, I think people should have the option to go physical if they want.
Yeah.
But I actually think, and again, I'm not hugely into defending Nintendo, but they're just being transparent. Like, I think they've actually made the right decision rather than you buying Call of Duty, which has 5 kilobytes of a serial number on it.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I totally get it. I'm in agreement. I mean, the good news, I don't buy any disc-based stuff unless it's, like, absolutely dirt cheap.
Well, your 10,000 Steam games would say do mostly digital, but...
Yeah, I do mostly digital. I mean, generally speaking, if I'm going
to... an impressive hoard.
So, here's the deal.
We're not joking.
Here's my thought process, all right? My thought process is that if I'm going to buy a digital game, I need to have it on the most open platform I could get, and that's on PC. I'm not going to buy a digital-only game on a closed system where I'm bound by whatever rules that they're going to make, or I hope that their service keeps up, or whatever. Like, I need something that I could ostensibly just do something on my own, failing that company, without having to break open something, like jailbreak it.
Yep.
So that's where I am. And then if I am going to buy on a closed system, I want the physical side, because even if their side goes down, I know I have whatever's on here for as long as it's going to last.
Well, then you're talking about GOG, because that's, you own that.
Yeah,
actually.
But at least it's an option, right? Like, you know you're buying into this PC platform, and maybe you're going to buy a game off the Xbox app, maybe you're going to buy some games off Steam, but you could alternatively go to GOG, and you could get that DRM free.
One thing that I wish that they was an opportunity would be to make, they call them worm, write once, read many, SD cards. And then on Steam Deck, you can have worm like Cyberpunk, and then you just like pajunk, and then it just loads up.
What was that sound again?
Pachunk.
Okay.
Pachunk.
No, I feel it's more of like a pachunk.
Yeah, okay. You heard it.
Okay.
You heard it.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just really like cartridges. Speaking of cartridges, last thing, small digression. I'm really upset that Breath of the Wild wasn't a gold cartridge, and I wanted to do it myself. I feel like it was a big miss.
That is a huge miss.
Sounds like you should 3D print a cartridge.
Yeah. And they could have switched up the taste on those the gold cartridge, too, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing I tried.
Really? Did you try it? Is it the same taste as the Gen 1?
Just as terrible.
Wow, yeah, that'll keep the kids away from it.
I accidentally ate the whole cartridge. It was so delicious.
Yeah. Well, we used to have this thing, like, to keep my cat away from my drum set, you'd spray this horrible sour apple spray.
Oh, I use that on my cables for my
cats. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, it smells awful for humans too. But
this will keep them away.
never did play that drum set again. No, it's an interesting like place we're at. For one thing, we are so spoiled for choice in 2025. Like, my God, can you imagine? When we were kids back in my day. You know, you rented a game from the store. You know, you had like 10 games maybe in your whole childhood you would have played. Now we're just being. Content being shoved down our throats through Epic, through freaking every platform, Amazon, any number of platforms you could use. Steam, still, even though you know you don't own those games, you still, I bet you that's everyone out there, it's probably your biggest library, no matter how much Epic wishes that we're different.
With all their free games that they try to draw you in with.
Yeah. The free games, right?
This is free. And where they get you, not only you get achievements for those dopamine hits, but you get those freaking cloud saves, which is...
That's...
Awesome.
One of my favorite things. I have played Hades 2. I don't even know how many different handles by now. Honestly, I'm like, it's just nice to have.
And you just QR code into your account.
I love that.
On any handheld.
QR code sign in is a game changer.
And then you have.
So good.
And then you can just switch between handhelds all day long. And see which is the right Goldilocks handheld for me.
I do a little bit of that.
just buy handhelds. Don't charge them. Flavor's gone.
What you're describing though is like we're talking about Switch before, we're talking about Steam Deck, like I feel like those are the handhelds you have to recommend because they're just essentially plug and play.
The Steam Deck is like a Honda Civic or a Toyota Corolla, right? It's like
it's all dependable.
All dependable, yeah, exactly. And you know, GPD Win 5 is
the Ferrari.
It's the Ferrari.
Yeah, with questionable customer service. Like,
no, probably not. You know?
Where do I have to go back to Italy to get this serviced?
I have to fly it in? What?
The oil change costs how much to do? You know, like, It's kind of that level.
And, like as cool as the GPD is, like, it's, you know, the battery and all that stuff. Like, at what point are you just brute forcing a handheld?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
You will be. You will be. That's kind of what it feels like.
It is 100% that, and that's just the reality of where we are.
Limitations of just the form factor. The battery. Batteries have not caught up in terms of the power and technology, so... Yeah. You can see some of those limitations in just what the Win 5 is trying to accomplish.
But I think, like you look at the Switch 2, and it really is unfortunate that we don't have a comparable NVIDIA solution in the PC gaming hand space.
Agreed.
Because if we did, like when NVIDIA gave $5 billion to Intel, and they were like, oh, we're going to put some of our GPU tiles on those things, everyone was like, say what? Are you?
How can you?
Yeah. The problem is, once Nintendo came into the picture, Tegra went... with it. You'll never you'll never see Tegra.
I don't know if you guys I don't know if you guys remember I don't even remember JKD.
Singularity baby.
The K, what was it,
K92?
The big one. The big S. It had the Tegra X1 in it.
Yeah.
And they were the first one with the Tegra X1 in it. And then the Switch came along. And then they were like, okay, can we get more of those? Like, and be like, no, you're gone. Well, and then the company just disintegrated.
The Shield Portable was the base of the proof of concept.
Now,
so we're trying to shop it out to somebody.
Rob, no. You know what we've been talking about behind the scenes. We haven't told anyone publicly, but we do think there's a conspiracy theory that JXD dissolved to become Kitty.
That's my theory.
To become Pow Kitty.
That's my theory.
Oh.
That's my thought.
Because they kind of disappeared around the same time Pow Kitty... appeared.
They couldn't use the Tegra chips. They have the manufacturing. Like, they didn't just
The molds were similar. The build quality similar.
So, the one thing that I want to say about the whole Shield line of things is that you can see that as it was. So, if you take a look at NVIDIA's whole 2010s era, they were trying their hardest to break into mobile.
Yes.
And they bought a software-defined radio company for cellular. They tried their very best to be a customer, but NVIDIA is a terrible business to business, also business to customer. And so far as they're like, oh, you like our stuff and you want our stuff, that'll be $2,000.
GeForce Now would like the word, but sure.
The 5090, oh, that'll be $3,000. And it's like, all right. And I look at all of their, all the customers, Microsoft Xbox One had a GeForce 3. And then they went back to the drawing board and said, hey, you know, it's been 3 years. Can we get a renegotiate this deal? And NVIDIA's like, no, you can just pay us top dollar. And then they were like,
they got screwed on that big time. Oh, man.
You know, mainline 360. We need to get 360 out the door. We're not paying these guys anymore. No more dealing with NVIDIA. Sony, you know, Ken Kutaragi, the father of PlayStation, he's like, sell is it? And then they're like, actually, it isn't. And then they're like, we need something. They go to, NVIDIA's like, you want some GPU, right? And they're like, yeah, please. They put it in, and they take it real hard. And then Ken Kutaragi, the father of PlayStation, they're like, oh, man, thank you so much. You're fired. Get out of here. Like, the PlayStation 3 is such a disaster. And then Sony does it.
That's exactly what we've looked at PS4 architecture. Completely
AMD. Opposite direction. Yeah. So what does Microsoft do? They go to AMD. What does Sony do? Goes to AMD.
Everybody, yep.
Tegra was in a Tesla. That left. Everything that NVIDIA does business with, they're no longer customers with them. So in the mobile space, no one was buying anything, but NVIDIA was printing these chips. So what do they do with lemons? They make lemonade. Enter the Shield. Yep. And the Shield gets made because they just were sitting on these
things. Where are my Shield guys at?
Then
dozens of us.
Then here's the thing. In 2015, PAX East, NVIDIA was there showing off their Switch, which was an Android tablet that could go both. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That was the K8 or something like that?
I don't remember. I remember that they were showing it off.
It was the
K1.
Because that was
K1.
The chip. It was... Yeah. It was, what were the series? It was Tegra 1, 2, 3, then they started doing the letters.
Well, it was Tegra Plus, too, that was in the 2019 Shield TV. Was that right?
That's the X1 Plus. A little slightly higher clocked X1, basically.
Okay.
But that X1 Shield, how many years in are we on that now?
Oh, I mean, 8?
Yeah, and there's a reason there's probably some agreement where Nintendo said, that's it. You can't put anything else beyond this chipset into any other product.
I mean, I think for me, NVIDIA basically just shit-canned their entire mobile thing, especially when AI started coming over.
Yeah.
And they basically went to Nintendo and said, hey, look, we have a bunch of lemons, but I think we'd do great for you guys. And we have this idea, it's called, this. And they're like, oh, it's like switching. It's like, yes. that.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, we can give this to you for nothing. And they're like, great, because we want to sell it for something.
Yep.
And then they did, and then everyone loved it. And then, you know, the Switch 2 comes around, and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be $300. And then NVIDIA's like,
The funny thing is, NVIDIA is like this kind of cutthroat business person to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of screwed everybody over. Microsoft, Sony, everybody got screwed over from NVIDIA. Nintendo's the perfect customer for them because Nintendo, too, will make sure that NVIDIA somehow gets screwed over. They both want to screw each other over.
That is absolutely
like,
perfect.
Too, I'm assuming, you guys know, but like, I'm assuming that they just didn't have a choice if they wanted backwards compatibility. They had to stick with NVIDIA.
Yep. Yeah, so there was like, you know, there's a whole bunch of layer of stuff that you can do, but it doesn't benefit them in any way, especially when, what is the API that they use specifically for Switch? That NVN is the API that NVIDIA made, and lots of people leverage the NVN. So you have all of this stuff that's already pre-baked. So it doesn't benefit them all that much to switch it, especially for people that have this desire. And I would argue that all of the ecosystem that they built up, to throw that away would be disastrous. So I don't know. I don't think it would have worked out in their favor. So yeah, they pretty much had to go to it. And for everyone's happy. Like, the Switch 2 is dope. Like, I mean, in terms of performance and what it gets, and using Samsung's 8-nanometer node, it's still doing fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I still think it's great, but ultimately, it's like, that would be awesome to have in the PC gaming handheld space. But, there's also the N1X. That's NVIDIA's ARM. Windows on ARM.
I was about to say, let's merge it all together. What about Snapdragon's, you know, push with Microsoft to get crazy with the ARM?
The X Elite 2.
Right. Yeah. So you have like Windows on ARM stuff that was interesting, and ARM offers a lot of power gating stuff that's helpful for sleep.
Compatibility kind of blows right now.
It does, but it's not terrible.
Yeah. I was gonna say compatibility was pretty solid. Like,
yeah.
And I did that first, like when it first launched. I was experimenting with it. It's gotten better since then.
Yeah. Did you try the X Elite?
Using X Elite on my Surface laptop.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So the X Elite is not the only bad side of it. Is really not even bad. It's just that the GPU isn't very good.
Yeah.
You can jack it up if you plug in the power cord. You're gonna get a lot more TDP out of it.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, as when you compare it to what AMD offers, especially what NVIDIA offers, it doesn't have that edge.
I know.
And it's like, oh, cool, it's compatible, and it doesn't run awesome.
Well, yeah, you're trading off for battery life, though. Efficiency,
you know,
right?
I think a lot of... Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you also have to imagine... A lot of people's perception of ARM is Apple M4. It's like, that's how good ARM is. And they're like, hold on, that's Apple Silicon. And Apple Silicon is way different than standard ARM. And so you're not going to get what Apple does. And what Apple does is very impressive for how little power they chew up. And they're, you know, soup to nuts what they were doing. So mostly it's just GPU end. And NVIDIA still rules there. And until the N1X is supposed to come out. And as far as we know, there was supposed to be something that happened. Windows on ARM was.
Yeah, I mean, so we're moving in that direction. And on the other side of the fence, like on Android handhelds right now, we're doing the Game Hub, Game Native, the Winlater stuff. What do you feel? What's your thoughts on that?
So Game Hub, I don't like.
Why?
So I like the premise of it, but it's also like GameSir's. Remember when GameSir came out Switch emulator first?
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this is super gross. Like,
well, yeah.
You're like, oh, you need all those privacy permissions? You need every one of those? You need to know where I am?
That's huge right now. Everyone's freaking out about Game Hub. Is it a virus? Is it a virus? You know? The permissions it wants.
Yeah, the permissions are like absolutely insane. And you just see like all this stuff that's doing. The Game Hub website is just trash. Like, it's loading so much. It brings my system to a crawl. I'm trying to scroll through. I'm like, what is going on?
Right. The Game Hub is just that Switch emulator, like, in a nicer package. Like, the UI looks a little bit nicer, but it still feels wrong. It doesn't feel safe to use.
All I'm saying is I'm playing Silksong at, like, a solid 60 FPS on my Anbernic RG476H, you know?
It's super awesome. Like, it's a great... The idea is that you can just do exactly what they're doing because they have Box 3D, which is the...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the ARM x86.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you have that, and you have Protons. You have all the layers there.
Yeah.
So all you need is just basically do the layers and then do something else that's not gross. And that's what happened. Like, Switch emulation, like, became not so gross on Android. And I feel like it's only a matter of time before we get, there's going to be some developer that's just like, ugh. And then just like, just out of just disgust, just like, let me do this.
It's funny because someone on Reddit is trying to do a light version of GameHub. They're trying to get rid of all that stuff.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. It's like, you want to play this game? I'm just going to give you this container that already has all the settings for your device.
A spite build. It's a spite build.
Yeah. That's actually a really good way of describing it.
It's worth. I don't balk at the idea of it. I think that it's a solid idea, and especially for the Android side of things. The best part of Android is ARM's power gating, and the power gating part of it is the part where everyone loves, where you just press standby, and then I'll put it on. And like, oh, it only took like 1% of my battery. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, you're going to pick it up and it's still going to be there.
Still there.
So that's still the advantage that ARM has over x86, and x86 just went, like, they're like, oh, we have this thing called S3. It just keeps power and RAM. And you can start it back up, and we're only powering RAM. It's not super awesome, but it's not bad. You're like, well, how about we have the system on all the time and allow it to do updates?
You're going for a different goal.
My favorite. I'm in bed, put it on standby, put it on.
You hear the fans quietly go.
All of a sudden, lights flash up, all the RGBs turn on. Like, what the?
It's downloading Defender updates.
Yeah, it's like, I put you to sleep.
Waking up to a rave.
Yeah, I put you to sleep, and it's like, no, it's modern sleep.
Right, it says, back in Taiwan, we had the Ally X launch last year. They were really big on the S3. They were like, talk about the sleep. It's like, it's still not Android, it's still not going to be that true standby, which is why, to my mind, I still gravitate towards ARM, even though compatibility sucks right now with WinLater stuff. Give it a year or two to bake. 2027 is a good key year, I think, where the next needle's going to move.
I think the weird thing for me on Android side of things is it's like the Gen 2, Snapdragon Gen 2 was like, it's still the better one, right, when so far as Vulkan drivers.
Oh, yeah, compatibility for sure.
Yeah, and then you have like the newer, more the better stuff that isn't as good, and you're kind of like...
Turnip stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so that's the only problem that I kind of generally have with it.
Qualcomm's trying to work on that. They're trying to work on their own driver set with Vulkan compatibility and things like that, so they are improving it. They're aware of that issue.
Right.
This new
they're taking it a little more seriously, I think. Which is good.
Snapdragon 8 Elite, we just saw that there was going to be actual like driver focus now coming to it.
Probably going to be a little more, yeah, because we got all the handhelds that are coming out with it.
They're going to have to.
Attention to it, so I'm like, yeah.
With the Conquer Pocket Fit, 8 Elite, Odin 3, 8 Elite. What else?
Well, and you also have 1 year of market saturation now. So
right,
phones, tablets, yeah.
That's a super.
It moves so fast.
Oh yes,
yeah.
I think the funniest thing about that is that the worst competition that AYN has is themselves. It's like here's
how about IMEO?
You and I, we always talk about that, how like IMEO literally just shoots himself in the
I'm like, wait, time. You guys haven't even shipped your last product and you've already announced the next product. Right, like, yeah. Calm down.
This has been a long time thing with them. It's just like you guys realize the Osborne effect isn't good. No one said you should do this.
We're seeing it with Ambernic stuff.
There's too
definitely
too
a fatigue saturated with the Ambernic stuff. Yeah. Like,
but the thing
there's
is
a lot less interest in it overall because when you release 12 handhelds,
slightly different, and there's no change, and it's like basically the same thing. The software is still pretty garbage. You have to rely on open source firmware. Like,
hope that Gamma OS comes around, some custom firmware.
Yeah. But you have to hope that the community is going to do it. These great developers are going to put that time in to actually make your device usable.
But the 4.7 inch display that they have now is super nice. That 120 hertz.
Yes, sir. The LTPS.
Device, it's like, oh, there's this one nice thing.
Yeah.
But then everything else is bad. It's like, there's always so many gotchas to Ambernic.
The gotcha with the 476H is that they went back prior generation instead of putting like a Dimensity in there.
Yeah, they did that.
So they did the 477M, but the gotcha with the 477M was what? It is metal. It's heavier.
Unisoc TA20 in there.
Yeah, inline.
Inline shoulders.
And then they made the update to that, and like, it's like, guys. What are you?
It's like they just like take whatever extra parts they have lying around.
It's parts.
Can we make a handheld out of
this? They got a parts bin. They just go in blind and like,
what do we get? Okay.
Having said that, the 476H looks super premium. Like it looks like a high end EO.
It is really nice.
It is a nice handheld.
I think the
we've got the Air Mini coming out too.
The one thing that I think that I really like about it is just more just fascination from Shenzhen side is like, it used to be 5 years ago that if you wanted to, like, they would always complain, like, whenever you, like, talk about, like, different form factors and stuff, they're like, oh, it's going to cost us $50,000 just to make the mold for, to make the plastics for it. And that seems to have been, like, $10 now, because they make form factors galore. It's like, oh, you want it, like, slightly different? Here it is. And it's like, I thought that was super expensive. Wasn't that just super?
So I wonder how fast, like, a company like Ambernic, for example, because they get product out quickly and very consistently, and they can ship it, no problem. You're never waiting. From concept to the time it gets in someone's hands, what the time is between that.
So the one thing that I should really ask Arthur is, you take a look at what Ambernic has done, and it's always been, they can only do so much with what's available. So you have like B stock of whatever. It's like, this is the panel that I have. Let me design something around this panel.
Yeah.
Right. So you had the Miu Mini was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Let me build this thing all around it.
Yep.
And now it seems like Ambernic is like, here's this 4.7 inch, 120 hertz, 4x3, 1280 by 960 display. I'm like, and you know, I hear from them, there's like, oh, it's expensive for us to make this. Yeah. I'm like,
it was custom BOE.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, they now are producing their own stuff,
which is why you're going to see that 4.7 inch screen in
everything.
But even like Ioneo had, was their 4.3 inch
yeah
so it's like you are already seeing like there has been a significant cost reduction in plastic mold creation. There is now the capability of making custom displays that are really good. It is quite literally as Silicon Valley is for software, Shenzhen is the Silicon Valley for hardware in how fast they iterate.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just super fascinating to see how fast they're moving now. And it's at a lightning pace that they're doing things.
It seems like they're designing, and then about a month or two later, they're already producing pre-prod units. And then like 2 weeks later, they're shipping review units. Like, it's crazy.
It's impressive. It's really impressive.
So, I mean,
Yeah, the logistics of that alone is
incredible. Like, it's incredible. Like, how do they even do it?
They're like, I feel like but it's the Apple level in like that efficiency of just like, here it is, you can get it next week.
Yeah. All right, one other angle to look at here is the fact that you can run Windows or this new Xbox full screen experience, or you can rely on Bazite or SteamOS on third party, you know, other handhelds like Lenovo's Go S, and you can roll it on your Asus, of course. But like, I mean, Carrie, I specifically want your opinion on this. Like, what do you think on the Windows experience now with full screen versus what we get from Linux?
It's not as good. And the only reason being is, all right, so here's the thing, is that they've gone and done a tremendous amount of work. X Input is now a first class citizen. It works in user access control. So you get the UAC prompt that says, are you trying to do this? Yes or no? It's a elevation layer. Typically, you would not be able to use a controller, so you have to use the touchscreen only. But that's not awesome, especially if you want to do like a desktop console experience for a PC and you only have controller in your hands, you're kind of screwed. You have to use a keyboard and mouse. That's no longer the case. That works on controller now. So since this new one with Windows 11 25H2, we are now in a place where controller works on UAC prompts, Xbox full screen experience. On when you load it up, the pin screen comes up. You can use the same the keys like it works on an Xbox Series. So you can use controller to enter your pin code to sign in. So you have all these like barriers that used to suck real bad, or you can use third-party stuff, and all of that is now just front-facing and Microsoft delivers themselves.
More importantly, I feel like you're getting rid of all this background process stuff that you're the shell UI or whatever for Explorer is gone.
So the leak came out a few weeks ago. Like, people figured out that you can load Windows full screen experience, you know, before it was ready.
Yeah.
So I did it on the MSI Claw, and on the MSI Claw, it did effectively stop running a bunch of stuff in the background. I saved like 1.5 gigabytes of RAM. Awesome. Wow. It didn't change the way the system ran at all.
Yeah, I found the same thing. I did it on the Claw also. Yeah. So I was curious, like,
this Claw, like, the eight.
Is it going to make me, is the Xbox experience going to get better?
The first gen Claw, right?
First gen Claw.
We were talking about it because it's like, hey, you know, we both were looking for handles that we were not really using much that we could put it on. So,
and we know that Asus is going to move into this with their new one. The Xbox Ally XX AI X7 X.
Yeah, that one.
And, you know, that's going to be interesting, too. We'll have to see when that comes out. But there is, to me, it feels like now there's no point, though, in loading full-on, full-bloat Windows anymore, like, now that we have this.
I want to get us all distance away from bloat being the reason that Windows is operating the way it does, because...
But it is, right?
No.
That is the reason.
No.
Well, okay. You're the guy.
So all right, so here... If you are...
Break it down.
All right, so if you have 16 gigs of system RAM, right? Like, you have 16 gigs of RAM to work with, right? you will get a benefit from saving 1 to 2 gigabytes of space, obviously, because especially if you're going to do any type of UMA cap, right? If you're going to reserve 3 gigs, 4 gigs, now your system RAM is 12 gigs. So you have even less to work with. So in that space, you just freed up 2 gigs of RAM. That's a significant percentage.
VRAM me, baby.
Yeah, so that is a benefit. Wait. But when if you don't have any like resource management issues, this Windows still mismanages how the system is run. It is effectively, like if you get into a car, right? And you just like, you know, pedal to the metal and you're like, man, this gets terrible mileage. And it's like, ease up off the gas. And you're like, why don't you just do that? And SteamOS, Bazite, does that automatically. It's like, oh, you want to drive at 30, you want to drive at 40. And what Windows does is it puts metal to the, you know, pedal to the metal, and it's just putting the brake on. Like, oh, okay, you want to go 30 FPS? We're going to, it's like, and you're just like, why are you doing this? And then, everyone else is like, but it's not bloated. And they're like, yeah, you got weight off the car, but you're still driving it stupid.
I mean, and, it seems like that is the cover. Everybody keeps saying, there's no bloat, but I do feel like the Windows full screen Xbox experience is what you said. It's just purely like now that controller experience work throughout.
Yeah.
Like even if you don't, like hopefully we get performance gains, but I didn't see any on the Claw. And I think it just comes down to like at least the controller works everywhere. All right. Like that's a huge benefit.
Yes. I was using the Claw 8 the other day. I was updating the latest greatest. I watched ETA Prime's video. I'm like, oh, there's been major things. It's still like randomly switching to desktop mode from gamepad mode. I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'm in the toolkit, like pushing buttons. I'm like, it frustrates me. I put it down, pull up my Steam Deck. Screw this.
Right, because like that's MSI trying to brute force a handheld experience, right?
So we fixed that with this Xbox experience.
So it's not there entirely, and that's like the thing that I tried talking to them at Gamescom about, because I kind of just drilled them on everything. I'm like, what happens if there is no OEM, if there's a MSI, Asus aren't there, right? What happens when someone installs a full screen experience and they are using a controller only, and how on Asus Armory Crate, I can just press a button and say, oh, I'm in a desktop configuration. Now the analog stick acts as a mouse. Yeah. How is that going to happen? They're like, oh, it doesn't. It's like, oh, you are relying only on the OEMs to satisfy.
We're losing that.
No, you still have that because it's on Armory Crate. It's on Asus to do that.
Yeah, but okay. So personally speaking, sorry, Asus. I ripped out that whole thing and put on G-Helper. TDP control is way better.
So like, yeah, you could do that. But the focus of this is like, it should be, Microsoft should be a power czar here. They should take a very Apple approach to this and say, hey, all vendors, guess what? You have no more power here. I have all the power here. I am going to govern
how
this. It
still feels a bit like that they have one foot in, but they're not fully.
I mean, this is an amazing first step, though. And hopefully that's the first step.
They bring that second, their second foot into it, and they're fully in on it.
I mean, that's the thing. Biggest difference, I guess, is like, and you can tell me if you guys think the same, but it's like Steam had big picture mode, and like that felt like their first step in the door, and it was okay that it was kind of experimental and not really great, and that seemed to be the foundation of what SteamOS was and that whole user experience. Mm-hmm. And I guess Xbox really didn't do that. They were like, here's compact mode, here's some controller support.
Well, I remember they introduced compact mode. I'm like,
yeah, that was a whole blog post, and it was like, it's like, that's it, guys? Like,
that's it?
That's all you got?
This is what contact
Well, and that's why I think Lenovo's playing it smart. They released to market a handful of SteamOS from the get-go designed for that with their GoS, priced really freaking well. I got an open box, $420 or something. Nice.
So do you think that Asus should do the same thing and release something that has SteamOS right out of the box?
I think so. They're not going to. Their partnerships are tied with these other brands. I don't think they're going
to
do it.
I don't think they need to now, because now that we have the Xbox full screen experience exists, like this should be the indicator to Microsoft and Windows to really just push that and show that they can make something that is as good as SteamOS.
But Microsoft's track record though for what you actually get, you know, year to year,
But they have done it, right? The Xbox interface, like, I don't love the Xbox console interface, but like
it's there.
It works. And like if they just took that and put it on Windows, right? Yeah. Like Right. That's just where I think they need to bring
back the blades from the Xbox 360 days.
The main thing I'm trying to get here is that SteamOS, there is, I think that there's two competing ideas for SteamOS versus the Xbox full screen experience. The one side of it is in terms of usability, user experience, how that is. That's a great first step. It's beyond a great first step. They've actually fixed a bunch of stuff on Windows. And that is now far more pleasant to use on a handheld-only device. But if you're looking for SteamOS to give you all those great gains at low power, that isn't on, that's on AMD right now. And for what it's worth, it does look like AMD has done a lot of work there, but it should not be on AMD to just be like, oh, we have to fix our scheduler, we have to do this. I don't think it should be on them. I think it should be on Microsoft, and especially when it literally comes down to just clock management. 100% of the time, it is as simple as, what frame rate do you want to hit? 60? Okay. You want to hit 60? Here's the minimum clock I need to run to hit that. And if you just did that, you'd solve all your problems. And all of a sudden, I did a video on the original Ally 3 years ago now, 2 years ago, and I showed Tomb Raider where on default, 60 FPS frame cap, and it's using like 2 times the power, right. And all I did is just manage the clocks. And then I'm using half the power, 60 FPS. Why do I have to do this when it's clearly possible in Windows with all the bloat? Put all the bloat on it, still doing this.
No end user is going to go in and do that. They want to pick the 3 presets that are there, and we have to trust that those are being managed correctly. And that's how it should be for someone as a consumer buying it.
Which I trust on my Steam Deck when I go pick that up.
That is true.
Yes, it does very well. Yeah.
The thing is, like, SteamOS does a fantastic job. Yeah. I think what people don't realize is that you can actually, with the crazy nonsense that I'm talking about, you can push SteamOS further. And this has, especially on the low end, if you just go ahead and just throw in some few wrenches, you can actually extract like 20% gains on the super low end.
Yeah.
And that requires extra work, and you would imagine that SteamOS does it automatically. So it's not like SteamOS is some magic bullet that does solve all this every which way. It doesn't. It just does a far better job than where Windows is now, and Windows still needs to catch up to there. I still give them crap about it. My entire video for the MSI Claw A8 was great still not great, or it's like, you know, this came out and it's still not great. I forget what the hell I said, but it was just like, it's fine. I had a few people just give me some comments on there that are like, I don't understand what you mean. And other people are like, what do you mean you don't understand what you mean? It says it right there. Good, not great. So I don't know. It's a good first step is what it comes down to.
I agree. Yeah. I think that the full screen experience is a good first step, but it's like we talked earlier that it's them playing catch up.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of things, a lot of polish. Maybe
they should be playing mustard.
I really think, though, that one of the things that I saw when I enabled the Xbox full screen experience is you have to choose the Xbox app from the dropdown.
Oh, yeah.
There's a dropdown.
Yeah.
What? Is there going to be something else there? Is Valve going to be able to integrate into that API and make Steam Big Picture mode your default when you turn it into Xbox mode?
Hell yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so there is a possibility. Like, there a lot of the things that Microsoft's doing in one of the opposite side of the things of saying, hey, we should allow all of our vendors to do all this crap, is that they have that open, more open side. And what they, if you look at it through that lens, like there's a lot of new APIs that they have, which are great because it can also translate over to Proton once Proton starts accepting those APIs. But Windows has a whole handheld smorgasbord of APIs where it says, what is the DPI of the screen? I'm actually this small. I have to increase the font bigger. And these are all new APIs that can easily translate over. So that's all, you know, fine and dandy. But when you get to, what was I just talking about?
I don't know.
APIs. Adjusting things.
Yeah. That's what you were just talking about.
I said you were able to select a different app instead.
Yeah, he lost track of himself.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that the of doing the part where giving the company the responsibility of doing it, that they open up that side of letting others do it, and it's not on Microsoft because they have that it's on the Asus RG Ally and X, where anything that's on the Xbox App Store, it will download shaders for those games pre-compiled, like how SteamOS does. However, if you don't have an Xbox Ally X and it's using some third-party thing, what you can do is there's an API call that will go to Azure and say, this is the configuration of the machine that I'm running, here are the shaders, and then you can just download it. That's like a different order. Like in SteamOS, and how it's going to work is when you're downloading the game, it also downloads the shaders. This one, the agnostic way, that the more open way, is that it will download the shaders after you launch the game.
A new definition for throwing shade.
Or downloading shade.
Downloading your shade. How much shade do you want to download here? All right, well, this has been enlightening. We've been educated. I've learned something, at least one or two things. I'll retain some of this. We want to hear from you all in the comments below. Like, what's your thoughts? What's your favorite way to play your Steam games? Is it on a handheld? Is it on desktop? Is it on streaming? Is it on Linux? Is it on Snapdragon? Like, what's your setup? I'd love to see just kind of like a selection.
Before we end this and leave off, I do have a question for all of you guys.
Yes.
We had brought this up previously, and I think that I've narrowed down for myself games that I'm enjoying playing PC games on a handheld, and then some games that I actually will only play desktop, keyboard and mouse 2 feet away.
GPD One Max 2.
And there's other ones where I do a 10-foot experience. Like, for instance, Baldur's Gate 3, I only actually enjoy playing on my desktop. I don't enjoy playing on a handheld, and I don't enjoy playing at a 10-foot experience. I don't know, something about computer RPGs for me that do not click unless I'm in a computer setting. And my question to you guys is what is that divide? What are the genres that you prefer playing on PC gaming handheld versus not?
Yeah, CRPGs, Might and Magic series, Might and Magic right. 7, you know, or whatever, and the tactical ones. Also, there's this old school developer, Spiderweb Software, these games, yeah. Avernum, Abaddon.
All the same ones.
Wow. Yeah, so good, so good. That I will only play either on an iPad, pretty good experience, or on a full desktop mode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I tried playing it on my handheld the other day, and I'm like,
It feels off. You're like, why can't I possibly engage with this? And there's like a full stop, and I'm like, you know what? I just this requires a different way for me to play this game, and I'm curious what that divide is for everybody.
What about you, Rob?
For me on handheld, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, it's mostly pick up and play type of games. Like Hades 2, I've been addicted to Hades 2, and I feel like Hades 2 is easy to just jump in and out of, and that's the perfect handheld experience. It runs on everything, it runs well on everything. Yeah, like something like that. But like, the divide would be like XCOM, things like that, like real time strategy games where you need that fast mouse and keyboard. You know, I mean, like, there's definitely experiences where I would reserve for a console type of experience, you know, where you're playing in front of a TV, in front of a keyboard, you know, a mouse, and then handheld. So
it does tend to be role-playing games, it seems like. We keep coming around that.
Yeah, like strategy games for sure. Games, yeah. I think strategy games for me for sure, yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, you say that, and, like, my immediate, like, thought was Cyberpunk 2077. Uh-huh. I played it entirely on PC.
Yeah.
And, like, the moment that I put it onto, like, a Steam Deck just to be like, oh, like, there's a Steam Deck preset, I was like, this is fun. But it's not the same.
Right.
And Baldur's Gate 3, I entirely played on freaking PC.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they have, like, a really decent control setup because my wife went through it on console. But, like, I can't do it. On handhelds, though, like, I can play it. I can go through it. But 2D side-scrollers, like Silk Song right now, I'm playing Hollow Knight. It's been fantastic. I did play a chunk of Expedition 33 on a handheld.
Really?
But it's like a semi-turn-based RPG.
Well, you can even play that on the Steam Deck, Rudy,
like, I know.
If you want, but it's it's a good experience on a handheld, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like Claire 33, let's do it.
Play what?
Huh?
Did you say? Oh, Claire 33.
Claire Obscure. Whatever.
I thought you said Player 33. I'm like
Player
what game
31.
Are we
Player 33. A24. I don't know what numbers we are.
I think like third person kind of games. Like, I love playing Spider-Man handheld. Like that's just fun to play all the time. But it's mostly like pick up and play kind of games. Like it's stupid to say that I have like super powerful handhelds just to play Balatro. But that's
kind
of the truth. Balatro is my life, though. Yes.
I think that's like the running meme, right? Of everyone was like, I finally have my perfect machine, 50, 90, 128
gigs
of RAM. Time to play
Balatro. Man, look how good Balatro
runs
on
these
frames.
Yeah.
You guys all played Vampire Survivor, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Well, dude, that thing actually... Yeah. Also, you saw the update that just came out?
Yeah,
co-op?
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, are you serious?
You know what? Yeah. That game awesome. can bring a system to a crawl. You have enough enemies on screen.
Yeah, dude. Like, it will bring the Steam Deck when it's like CPU. Yeah. You see, like, it's like every core is at 3.5 gigahertz. It's like, and like, oh boy.
You know,
early. Yeah.
A great experience if you guys are into the Vampire Survivors stuff is Megabonk.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
Megabonk is awesome. Megabonk
is amazing. Yes, I have it loaded up on here. It's great.
So, what is your favorite handheld to play Megabonk on? Or whatever, you know. But what's your favorite, like, way to play your Steam games? And I want to know from you guys, too. Your Steams. Your Steam clams.
How do you play your Steams again?
How do you play your Steams?
Localized directly in your kitchen. Can I see it?
The shaders just come right out of the box into the pot.
It runs natively.
I will say for me, at the end of the day, like, I'm so freaking torn. At the end of the day, I want stuff like Windlader to get developed more, and I can run the most hours, the best battery life, you know, because I'm not going to be pushing Miles Morales usually when I'm gaming on a handheld myself. But I do like what we're seeing here from these new gen experiences running native. The GPD Win 5, super impressive what I saw today. Like, wow, this is the future. At the same time, why? Like, just because you could doesn't mean you should. I don't know.
Science.
Wow.
Time travel, baby.
It's always for science.
What do you
it's
guys?
Time travel.
What's your favorite?
It's just time travel.
What's your favorite flavor, you know, way to play Steam
games? Actually, this is actually a good question as well, because there used to be, it was always a conversation that came up, and there was always someone that had in their head the maximum size of a handheld. For some people, it's the 3DS or the PS Vita. It's like, nope, that's a handheld. Anything bigger than that, it's not a handheld. I don't care what you say.
Yep. Yeah.
So what, for you guys, is like, the absolute apex of like what you would consider to be a handheld, and what is your preference? Like, what is the smallest one that you would go to now that you've tried all these different form factors?
Oh man, what stops being a handheld? I mean, the Z Flow 13 probably is a right
is too much. Or we've gone just too right
far.
For you.
No,
that's too much.
That's too much. I learned that's too far.
I love slapping those telescopic controllers and everything, but that's right. Going too far.
You're going too far. You're freaking using 14-inch tablets, man. You're just slapping.
Like, at least for me, the answer is, what handheld am I going to bring on the subway? If it's too big for the subway, it's not a handheld.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set up a whole workstation.
I think really, like, I remember when the Steam Deck first came out, everyone was like, oh my god, that thing's so big.
Yeah,
right.
Compared to what we've got today, it's actually like a pretty great size, and like, it's really not that thick, and it's, you know, it's, that's, that feels like the perfect style of handheld.
Fair. And that probably is about size-wise where I'm at, because the Claw 8 AI, as cool as it is and the power is great, you know.
You think it's too big?
I think it's maybe a little too big.
No.
Look at this.
Dude, I think that's fine.
That's fine. It's right on the edge. It's right on the edge.
I feel like the smallest in the PC handheld space is 7 inches. I feel like that's, like, for a 7-inch screen, that should be, like, your minimum at this point.
Let's take it back. 5.5-inch or 6-inch screen, Win 600. Like, come on. Like, this was comfortable.
There could be an argument made for that, too. Like,
again, I think this size is nice.
I don't know why you even have this device with you to begin with.
Because it's the best handheld.
Amazing.
The best what was the best X86 of 2023? Is that what you said?
I was joking. Like, it actually got roasted.
I don't think you were joking.
Rob started his channel on this handheld.
Oh, really?
This was his whole first year on YouTube, was this handheld.
Like, first 6 months, seriously, was just covering the Winston
phone. Yeah. That's so good.
Showing people what you could do with it.
The screen's not great, you know, but there's something about, like, playing PS1 games or indies on this handheld.
And form factor.
What,
like,
more do
again,
you need
for, like, Balatro? Play Balatro on there. Play Hades 2 on there. It's nice
still,
size. Good for indies. Like,
still,
I'm still waiting for my dream handheld, which is the whole, like, an N150-ish type of power.
Oh, okay.
Small size. That'd be really cool to see. You know,
That's why. So even, like, Bob Wolf was like, he's like, when are we gonna get, like, smaller, less expensive?
Where it's going on the opposite end. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I totally get that, and that's been a long coming thing from a lot of people. But I feel like, I wonder if we're ever going to. Well, we'll never do that again.
No,
we're never doing that.
We'll never go full embryonic.
But like the Win 1, right? The Win 1 was.
Oh, that was a tiny. Yeah, super tiny. It's actually popular.
It was an Atom chip, which no one thought much of in terms of gaming, right? Yeah.
So, hold on. So are you guys saying that, like, the Z2 Go would be a modern day answer to something like that?
I love the idea
so,
of that.
So, because, like, that's what you're saying. Something that's cheaper. Obviously, Lenovo charged way too much for it when it was first released. Yeah. But it would be cheaper, mid-tier, like, what, yeah, 400 bucks?
I don't think that any expectation could actually materialize is what I'm trying to say. It's like getting, and that's why I was always trying to, like, I had a conversation with Bob. I'm like, it's not going to happen because people always buy the more expensive thing. We saw it with the Win 5. They're buying the more expensive thing, even though the 385 makes more sense in terms of value.
I saw the Indiegogo for the GPD Win 5. It's going nuts.
Yeah, there's
$700,000 already.
Holy crap.
It's but crazy. No one's really buying the 385 one. That's the good fun
marketing, right? When you have three options, the high, medium, low, it's like, well, the medium is only $100 more, and the high is only $500 more. Yes. And if I'm gonna spend $1,000, I might as well spend $500 more to get the best thing.
It's the super size me.
Every single INEO campaign, you know? Same thing.
Well, that's different because the highest one is like freaking ridiculous. It's always the DMG style one that looks nice, that and like, well, it's $5,000.
Well, yeah,
that's called price anchoring.
But yeah, like that's what I mean is like I try telling Bob is like no matter which way you always introduce this, and Gabe Newell said it himself when they introduced the Steam Deck, he did not anticipate so many people buying the most expensive Steam Deck, and they did. And that's just what people do is they when they're presented with options, they're going to navigate weirdly to the more expensive one, even if the price increase doesn't actually,
you get OLED now.
Scale properly.
Yeah, to the value, like it's a weird thing that has happened over and over again. Yeah. And the reality of all of that is that to get a device that is small, low power, low cost, but good enough, doesn't exist in any realm of reasoning. Because as soon as you put those stacks of costs in there, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, that should be $200. It's like, okay, here's $200, $300, $450. And then they buy the $451. It's like, well, why'd you do that?
But then you just told me. We have a $320 Steam Deck.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wait a year or two. You're going to be buying that top spec model for the base price.
That's something that I wish that Valve would actually do, is actually make a Steam Deck. They made a Steam Deck OLED. They should have done a Steam Deck Lite. And yes. I think that...
Without trackpads, maybe just
more compact. Well,
I don't think they would ever move away from the trackpad.
Probably. Yeah,
I don't think
there's a lot of people that love that.
It's their thing. Yes. Yeah.
If they could figure that out, because the chip is already very good for how much power it uses. If they could just shrinkerize that, I think that would be it. I don't think they would do it because I know that they care so much about ergonomics first and size be damned.
Well.
I think
it works.
There is a brand that's done this. We didn't talk about the 1X Fly today. The 1X Fly is bringing the small form factor, I think greater ergonomics, with the same, 7840U in it. That's an awesome chip. Even the F1 Pro version, like, why aren't we doing the smaller size from Steam? I don't know.
Mostly it's going to be heat.
For me, you know what I was imagining? Yeah. Like, you know, we're talking about Game Hub and later, right? You know, and there's appeal to it because imagine you can play Windows or PC games on a device that's like the size of a Retroid Pocket 5 or like an Odin 2. But what if we didn't need WinLater and all that to play our indie games and we just had something like a N150 powered handheld that's small, compact, you know, lightweight, doesn't carry a lot of heat, doesn't need a lot of power, that can play those indie games without the translation layer?
Also,
that would be interesting as an alternative to a $300 Android handheld. You have a $300 x86 handheld that's small.
Have you been following the Decker leaks?
No.
So they do have what looks to be ARM compiled versions of like Cyberpunk and a bunch of other stuff. Because Deckard is going to be an ARM powered headset that will have an offload to a more powerful one that you can wirelessly stream to or just do on the device itself. But they have a small cache of games that appear to be ARM compiled. Like there is no translation.
Wow.
They just are natively made.
I mean, it's crazy because I've messed around quite a bit with Windows on ARM and using the Snapdragon X Elite, and there's a cost to that translation layer, but it was impressive what it could do. And now imagine if you can improve on that. I'm like,
That whole thing, like Steam is working on that, all those layers as well. Yeah, so if you get to that point where you can, it's like AYN is Steam OS, then you're like, oh, Christmas. That's actually pretty awesome.
Well, you can run Windows on directly on some of these ARM handhelds now.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's interesting. Not that they're great experience yet.
Right. But I think like we're rapidly approaching an area where, especially all the work that Valve has done 10 years for Proton, now they're also, standing on the shoulders of giants of all the other middleware
stuff. Right. It's converging.
Yes.
We're converging. It's an orgy of tech happening.
That's exactly the words that I was going to use. Probably not the same time or ever, But yes.
But yeah. It works.
But then I wonder if we're seeing like ARM compiled games, like what does that mean for Apple, right? Like,
yeah.
We were talking about Apple and their M4 chip before, and we have like our iPhones or they have, you know, like Assassin's Creed Mirage and Death Stranding,
Apple
right?
Silicon like is amazing, and it's like it's such a shame because I'm like, ugh.
I think that's
they just
like
can't figure out where they stand in gaming.
They've always been in this weird spot with gaming for sure.
There's like some placard or something that like Steve Jobs like just nailed on the wall. He's like, we will never be a gaming company.
They're very selective. There's
we are not Atari.
We
come before them in the phone book.
He's just mad because freaking, you know, Nolan Bushnell kicked him out of the office for not taking a shower in the 70s.
Dude, but like, I mean, if they just got like just moved themselves aside, they would be the biggest threat to Nintendo ever.
Totally.
Like, 100%.
They already have a device on everybody's TV. They already have Apple TV. Yeah, just put an A19 Pro in that Apple TV.
Hey, you can do Cyberpunk on the M4.
But like, why? Like, you can like, oh yeah, you can run the iOS version there, and you know, there's the macOS version. So if I buy the macOS version, I have the iOS version? Don't be stupid.
That's not an Apple decision. That's the game developer's decision.
But I'm just saying, Apple could totally be like, hey, no guys, we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
And Apple does that. Apple is lock, stock, and barrel. That's
what shocks me is we still haven't seen that convergence yet of iPadOS, for example, and macOS.
That's what I mean. But
you
look at Apple, it's like they do not want to be associated with gaming. They love the money they make from all like the related gaming stuff, and they'll talk about, dude, I forget which WWC it was. It was like 2013 or whatever. It was like
WCW.
Hey. Yes, exactly. So Steve Jobs is there and he's like, "Oh, awesome news. We now have Steam on Mac. Here it is for 30 seconds. Oh, let me talk about this random company for like 90 seconds." And I'm like, "Guys, you just sped like speed ran through like Valve like bringing SteamOS like Steam to Mac and you don't care like
they did that 2 years ago too or however long it was recent where like they had Kojima at the WWDC event and he's like Death Stranding is coming see ya.
Yeah, it's
like that was it,
but it's like they don't want to be associated with gaming because it affects their image. Like it's like they are aware. Yeah,
they launched the freaking App Store.
That's what I mean. Like today,
you know, the App Store, and that's where all this stuff started. And then Android did it.
Yeah.
Mostly games. And sure, we can argue, yes, Rob, Engage actually, but you know, they took the ball and they ran with it.
Yeah, it seems like anytime, like the only thing that Apple's okay with doing is lowercase g gamers. As soon as it's like uppercase G gamers, are like, oh,
no.
This is only lowercase,
right,
friend.
It's fair. Like, they clearly are targeting casual gamers. Like, they want the Candy Crushes on their phone.
Yeah. Here's some Death Stranding, though, just in case you get bored with Candy Crush.
And randomly, I'm playing Resident Evil, 7 Biohazard on my iPad Mini.
But I mean, like, everyone has, lots of people, not everyone, very many people have iPhones that are extra capable of running the latest stuff. And
think about the untapped market. What is it, about 50% market share for iPhones?
Yeah, well, US. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hold on. We're talking Apple Silicon. Let's bring in the expert for Apple. We have Andrew from our team here. Andrew, can we pull you into this real quick?
No, just for the tail end. No, we don't.
Please. Come on.
We have lost Andrew.
I mean,
come on.
What it really comes down to is, like, Andrew. Ignore that I've got a massive extra battery on my Air, but, like, the whole phone is in this fancy plateau, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the whole phone.
Real cozy.
We're getting tight. We're getting tight.
We are there. We're like,
real tight.
What kind of couch standard?
Apple is more than capable of going deeper into that gaming realm because of their chipset. And they're just so far ahead of everything for the A19 Pro, for the M4. Like, when people ask me what kind of MacBook they should get, I'm just like, I don't know, just get an M1 Air. Like, it's still going to be great.
So you're daily raw dogging your M4.
I wouldn't
Mac.
Call it that.
I see you with those M4s. You're always upgrading the latest greatest. Like, do you game on your MacBook?
Absolutely not.
Do you game on your iPad?
No. I mean,
what do you use your iPhone for?
GameCube. I don't.
JIT-less GameCube. I'm like,
you're an Apple guy.
I use the Fold for my daily and a PC for at home.
What are you doing with the Apple stuff?
He raw dogs it.
You just said
productivity. It's a productivity device.
productivity.
Yeah, you know, people who do work, not just sit and talk in front of a camera.
Now, hey, media personalities are people too. Now, isn't Microsoft Surface Laptop? You know, that's their productivity laptop. MacBook, yeah, but, you like go on there to like
M4 Max, you know, set for lunch.
You go on the Mac.
This is a. I told you not to bring me into this.
This is. This, yeah.
But you could. But you could with the emulation layer on your freaking Parallels or whatever you guys do over there. Crossfire, whatever it is.
Crossfire. Yeah. This is CNN now.
No, he's talking about that old 80s like you could, game. Crossfire.
You could do VMworks or whatever it is. And you can. Crossover.
Yes.
So you can game on there. How good is that experience?
I don't game on my Macs. Never have.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Andrew.
I just figured out I did a video on Switch emulation on a Mac.
Yeah, Rob did a video on Switch emulation. 2 years ago,
just found out about it last
week. Well, I'm always late to the game. Yeah. All right, I'm going to awkwardly pivot to the end of this episode. This has been good. We want to hear from you. This has been a lot of interesting stuff. We have varied opinions. Across the board. Is there still a space for streaming, Andrew, in 2020?
There's no space left on this couch.
Well, everybody, I want to thank you all again. Thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share to stay in the know for all of your favorite retro handhelds. And a special thanks once again to our channel members, our patrons, and our subscribers who make everything here possible for us. Perks with our H start for as little as
$3
per month. Join us in our Discord to chat and play games, and join us on the next episode of the podcast. We're going to be arguing about God knows only what. And stay tuned for our coverage on the Xbox Ally and Ally X very shortly here. I want to thank you also to our co-hosts and guests. We have Fox.
Yes,
it's Andrew.
Yeah, I'm Fox. Hey, you can find me on YouTube.
Follow YouTube at PHAWX TV still?
No,
I took out the TV.
I don't know where that came from.
Where'd the TV come from?
I guess on Twitch I wanted Fox, but it wasn't there, so I just put Fox TV because of Justin TV or whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever. I don't use Twitch.
I didn't hear a whole story.
Anyway, somehow YouTube took that in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. That was cool. So I changed it. Yeah, it's just Fox.
I'm glad you're back to the OG. I like that.
Like
Baldly Rudy.
Yes.
Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
You have your own mic. Yeah.
And okay. Josh from Scatterbrain.
We're
a professional podcast. Until the next one, everybody. This has been Stubbs on behalf of these dudes saying, take care of those handhelds.
Buy my handheld.
And take care of each other, too.
Bye.